You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
Imagination. It's a powerful thing we humans have, capable of creating so many wondrous things. I'd like for us to use it together this morning, but I'm going to warn you. Some of the images will be dark and ugly, but there will also be light and beauty. Imagine you're a 13-year-old teenage girl. You've been in and out of foster homes, and now you've decided to run away. Your foster father is abusive to the family. It doesn't seem like anyone cares about you or if you have everything you need. It doesn't feel like there's anyone who loves you or that you have anyone to love. You've met an older man who thinks you're pretty and wants to help you and take care of you. Wanting to believe him and needing a place to stay where you were wanted, you go with him. But he raped you. And now you have to be one of his prostitutes to survive, suffering from beatings, threats, humiliation, and constant fear. You are trapped, hopeless. Now, what would you imagine if you were her? A way out, escape. You want freedom. We can see her as she lifts up her eyes to the hills, as in the psalm that Pat just read. But she cries, "From where will my help come?" On September 22nd, 2012, we as a country celebrated the 150th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation. Slavery has been outlawed since 1865, but the promise of freedom is not for everyone in this country. We now have modern-day slavery in the world, the United States, California, Los Angeles, and its name is human trafficking. The simplest definition of human trafficking is the illegal movement of people, typically for the purposes of forced labor or commercial sexual exploitation. According to U.S. government reports, the number of trafficked adults and children in the world is 20.9 million, over half are women. So worldwide, 3 people per 1,000 people are victims of human trafficking. California human trafficking reports have some staggering facts. Did you know that human trafficking is widely regarded as the world's fastest growing criminal enterprise? That it's an estimated $32 billion a year global industry? That after drug trafficking, human trafficking is the world's second most profitable criminal enterprise, a heinous status it shares with illegal arms trafficking. Given those facts, it doesn't stretch the imagination to believe California is one of the nation's top 4 destination sites for trafficking human beings, and that LA has one of the highest rates of human trafficking. And sadly, there are an estimated 100 to 300,000 prostituted children in the US, and hundreds of thousands more children and youth are at risk. Runaways, unaccompanied minors, make up the majority of those at risk. Again, we think of the teenage girls searching for hope. From where will my help come? In 2008, the United Methodist Church passed a resolution to abolish sex trafficking. The United Methodist women have responded to this challenge by making the prevention of human trafficking a priority mission, with special emphasis on sex trafficking. Our UMW unit has joined this sacred mission in the greater LA area, but we hope to and will do more. With Traffic Free Pomona, an organization dedicated to assisting survivors of sex trafficking, we assemble freedom bags for survivors who are freed in rescue operations led by the FBI, local law enforcement, and other special groups that deal with rescue operations. The bags we assemble are backpacks, brightly colored, fun. They're filled with clothing, toiletries, a Bible, snacks, among other things. But the personal handwritten note included in each bag brings the most solace, the most love, and the most hope to these young people. We want to thank you for your contributions to this ministry, and thank you for your continued support. We have also joined other churches in FIAT, F-I-A-T, which stands for the Faith Initiative to Abolish Trafficking. We come together for education, training, and collaboration on the issue. Our plans are to become more involved and find more practical ways to help end this insidious and mostly invisible horror. And you can refer to your worship guides for information about the Freedom Bags, as well as FIAT. There's an upcoming FIAT meeting on April 23rd, if you'd like to join us. Have you been wondering why there's an umbrella up here? Maybe imagining why? The UMW selected the umbrella to symbolize a need to prevent human trafficking, protect victims. They borrowed the idea from the football umbrella defense used by the Giants to defeat the unstoppable Cleveland Browns in 1950. Maybe some of you remember watching some of that, or maybe it wasn't on TV, I'm not sure. Sorry, I'm young for once. Traffickers are known to go where there are lots of people, mostly men. So at the Super Bowl this year, UMW members surrounded Levi Stadium with a virtual line of defense with umbrellas. Our single umbrella stands for our commitment to help end human trafficking and shield the victims. But it also echoes the compelling perspective our beloved sister Leanne Nakanishi expressed to so many of us in ministry with her. If you can touch, connect with, encourage, or help just one person, then it's all worth it. Worth the time you spent. Worth driving through crowded streets of LA and beyond. And worth the heartache of knowing that there are more people to help. From where will the help come? The Lord and the Creator, the church, and our hearts. And now I'd like to introduce Brianna Mandel, Program and Family Team Manager of Imagine LA. Brianna Mandel joined the Imagine LA staff in November 2014 and is responsible for managing participant families and program partner teams as they grow and progress through the Imagine LA program. Brianna comes to Imagine LA with extensive knowledge of the customer service industry and a passion for working with people. She has a background in grief support for children and teenagers, as well as experience working with transitional age youth and adults in the substance use disorder and mental health fields. In the past, she has worked as a group facilitator, therapist, spiritual counselor, mentor, grant manager, program designer, and trainer. I think that covers it all. Brianna earned her BA in theater from Fordham University in New York City and her master's in social work from California State University, Northridge, where she discovered her passion for working with the underserved populations of Los Angeles. In her free time, I don't know how she has any with all those things she can do, but when she does have free time, she enjoys experiencing new restaurants, going to the theater, reading, and public speaking. I introduce Brianna Mandel, Imagine LA.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I am super excited to be here speaking on behalf of Imagine LA. This is usually a job reserved for Tara Ignat, who's our outreach manager, and it's her birthday this weekend, and so I get to be here, so I feel extra special that she asked me to do it. So I just wanted to give you a sense of how I came to Imagine LA, because when Kimberly and I were talking about, you know, what I was going to express this morning, she said it really helps to express in stories, because people can relate to stories, and I think my personal story of coming to Imagine LA is probably similar to a lot of the reason why different volunteers and mentors come and join our organization. So, I am originally from Connecticut. I was really excited to hear the mention of the New York Giants. Go Giants. We did horribly last season, but that's okay. So I was next year. So I grew up in Connecticut, and like she said, I did go to Fordham University, got my BA in theater, and I was in theater for about 7 years in New York. Around 2005, I really felt called to Los Angeles. I had no idea why. I was definitely one of those East Coasters that said, I will never move to LA, ever. And usually when you say that, God is like, okay, you just wait. See what I have planned for you. So in September of 2005, I moved to Los Angeles and found an amazing spiritual community, church community. And I did find a theater community. I just realized that that wasn't ultimately going to be my calling. So I got heavily into the restaurant industry, and I think it was because I got to work with people all the time, every day, new people, develop relationships, and it really became a passion of mine. I started working for the Hillstone Restaurant Group in 2008 and became a trainer for them and traveled around the country opening up new restaurants for them. So it was kind of a new adventure every 6 months, which was absolutely amazing. And I, at that point, thought, oh, this is my calling. Okay, here we go. This is why I came to LA. Well, in the summer of 2011, this sounds really fancy, but trust me, there was another side to it. I was in the Hamptons opening up a restaurant, so I've spent the summer in the Hamptons. And the entire summer, I just kept feeling, wow, I want all of what I'm doing on the people side, but I really don't want any more of the food and beverage. How do I make that happen? So I prayed about it. I journaled about it almost every single day for 6 months, like, Lord, please reveal where you want me to go. And it came up randomly. I was like, I think it's social work. I think my dad was a social worker. His mom was a social worker. So I came from a family of social workers. But again, this is one of those things that I said I will never do. So at the end of that summer, I said, I'm going to apply to social work school. I have no idea what that's going to look like. And I don't know what possessed me to do this, but I only applied to one school. Nobody does that. So I applied to Cal State Northridge. Got in, shocking, and I started in the fall of 2012. It was the most life-changing experience I have ever had. I learned about white privilege, the color of my skin. I learned what social justice was. I learned that the way that I grew up really affects other populations without me even knowing it, and I wanted to do something to change that. It became a real passion of mine that if I grew up with this kind of privilege and I have this education, then I have a responsibility to be out there and changing lives, helping at least. So after I graduated in 2014, I went into a little bit of a depression. I had not been on a job interview in about 8 years, and I had no idea where. Like, what was I supposed to do now? Okay, I have this degree, I have these letters after my name, so what does that mean? What now? Nobody really talks to you about that. So I went back to serving, because I love waitressing. It's, you know, like I said, it was a passion of mine. So I went back there and hung out for about 6 months, and an email came to me from one of my former supervisors at an internship and said, check this job description out, it is perfect for you. It was a family team manager at Imagine LA, and when I read the description, it was what clicked for me was it was about bringing communities together. So essentially, it was working with families who've experienced homelessness and poverty, chronic poverty, bringing them together with a team of mentors from more privileged communities, and surrounding that family, the mentors surround that family and walk with them for 1 to 2 years to bring them out of poverty and establish self-sufficiency. And I just thought, this could not be more perfect. Like, this is the most perfect job for me. So I have this passion for helping the underserved, but all my years of service in the restaurant industry, I worked with this, you know, this other population where the mentors would come from. So I was like, wow, I get to combine both of my passions. I don't think there's anything better than this. So I applied, I got the job, it was all very exciting. And when I came to Imagine LA, one of my first families, I inherited a family, and I came in November, and she actually graduated from the program in January. I'm going to use her real name, and you'll find out why in a second. But her name is Sierra. And when I met Sierra and her team, they had already been journeying together with Imagine LA for almost 2 years. So Sierra came out of the foster care system, and she was adopted when she was about 7 years old, and she had a horrible relationship with her mom. When she was 18, her mom kicked her out. That was up in the Bay Area. She ran to Los Angeles. She got into a lot of... She started abusing substances, got into a really bad relationship with a few men, domestic violence, very abusive. And finally, she found herself pregnant and then found a transitional maternity shelter for expectant moms called Harvest Home in Venice. And when she found Harvest Home, she found what she describes as the first time in her life she had people who actually cared about her heart. So she went through Harvest Home, she had her son, he's now 4 years old, and Harvest Home introduced Imagine LA. They said, you know, you're about to be out on your own. We don't want you to continue in this cycle of poverty. We don't want your son to go into the foster care system, because children of foster care, children are 50% more likely to go into the foster care system. So they wanted to break that cycle. So they introduced Sierra to Imagine LA. Sierra, at that point, she said yes because she was like, okay, I have no idea what you all are offering, but I'm just going to say yes in faith. She said yes, and she was introduced to her mentors. Her mentors were from a faith community, Bel Air Presbyterian Church, and they surrounded Sierra and her son Caden for 2 years. They helped Sierra with everything from taking her grocery shopping to help her save for a car. They helped her do job searches. They helped her set up her apartment. And the way Sierra describes it is, it wasn't anything crazy. It wasn't like they took me on like extravagant vacations. They just were by my side. They were friends. They were friends who didn't leave, and they were friends who didn't expect anything from me. She describes this really beautiful relationship. To this day, she calls her mentors Uncle David, Aunt Noah, and Grandma Gretchen. They are a part of her family. They are a part of her life forever. And after Sierra graduated in January of 2015, our CEO, Jill, said, I cannot let this girl go. She is too special. I want to hire her. So Sierra went through the hiring process at Imagine LA, and she is now our executive assistant, and she goes around and speaks to prospective families to come in to say, this is my experience, this is what Imagine LA has given me, this is what the mentor experience was like for me, you know, and this is what it can do for your family. So when I saw, you know, that was my first maybe 3 months at Imagine LA, and when I saw how effective this program was, it became not just a job for me, but it became my mission. You know, and this morning when we read, mission is participation in healing in all aspects of life, spiritual, physical, sociocultural, and political, and mission calls us through participation. There's no better way to describe what Imagine LA does in terms of bringing communities together. It is participatory. It is relational. I mean, you develop these deep, deep relationships with families who have been homeless before, maybe one of my families who I just brought into the program was homeless for 10 years, and this is the first time she ever had her own rental unit with her son. It is absolutely incredible to watch a family journey along and be with them, watch them grow, watch them change, and it is not only them who grows and changes, but it is us. I am not a parent. I hope to God to be one day, but all these moms, they give me so much. They give me all this parenting advice. They're like, Brianna, you are not there yet, but let me tell you something. And they give me all this amazing parenting advice for the future, and life advice for that matter, because they've been through way more than I ever have. So it really becomes this mutually beautiful relationship as you journey alongside a family in need. I do want to mention that we have two programs going right now. The one that I manage, it's the Formerly Homeless Families, and then another program that my amazing coworker Rebecca runs. She does the tape the TAPE population, so transitional age youth coming out of foster care who are already pregnant or parenting. So they're 20, 21-year-olds who already have their children. And so we have those two programs running right now. We are always looking for volunteers. Last weekend we had a successful, our biggest training ever right here. It was really exciting. Thank you all, because I know some of you are here, so thank you all for coming. And we would love to bring more of you on board. I'm going to stay after the service. You can ask me all kinds of questions. We have former mentors in the audience and in the congregation, sorry. And then, Kimberly can answer questions and I can answer questions. So again, thank you so much for having me this morning, and I hope to talk to you after.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.